Hour two, NFL Sunday, Mutt, Keith, and Fourier right up until kickoff, Pats and Dolphins at 1 o'clock. Don't forget, after the game, real post-game show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis. They'll be here in studio. They will not be smoking cigars there at the shed for Christian. Any more ideas yet? You and Doug come up with anything of how to get back at these guys since they've ruined morning there?
No, I like Keith's idea.
Yeah.
It's a subtle yet direct way of letting them know, listen, we're not messing around anymore.
That's right.
I mean, we waited long enough. We told you in the beginning of the season, like, not to do it.
It sends
a message.
It
anyways. Doug did get me a new mic, though. So thank God he had one in his car that was not saturated. Imagine, like, Fred or Steve, like, talking for 4 hours, smoking a cigar, and, like, just spitting into the microphone.
Disgusting.
It's freaking disgusting.
I can taste it. I can smell it. I don't like it at all.
Mic,
I don't like it
every
at all.
Now and then, my lips hit the mic, and I was like,
no, forget about it.
You're going to get
sick. Might as well just get a new face after that.
Let's mix in some calls here at 617-779-7937. It is Pats and Dolphins. Rob Gronkowski, obviously front and center, not just this week, but much of the season. Bob's a Newton on Gronk. Hey, Bob.
I'm just saying that I'm really looking forward to today's game and our second-seeded team. And I like the Gronk. I think he's a great player. And you
the
know
Gronk.
What? Every single player gets old. Every single player retires. Every single
True.
Player gets a contract.
True.
And, you know, we're talking about money, how much guys are worth.
Right.
What about you three? You got three overpaid guys. What do you guys
get? I promise you I'm not overpaid.
I can tell you.
I'm
barely paid, Bob.
You guys only need one person.
You probably make more money than I do, Bob, and I bet you're unemployed.
No, I do. But, you know.
Why do you think we're doing this stupid Sunday show?
We're all on Sunday. How well do you think we're doing, Bob? Are you kidding me?
There's too many of you there. You scream.
You know what? Hey, you're right.
I don't like
you.
Right.
I really disagree with that. What you're saying, Bob? I think we all have equal time here, Bob. Come on.
Listen to yourself.
Hey, Bob.
No, you listen to yourself, Bob.
Number two team in the league.
Send me some money, Bob, please. Send me some money.
5 years from now,
I gotta get Christmas gifts on this, please, Bob. Send me some money.
Next year,
83 Leo M. Birmingham Parkway. Send money, Bob. Whatever you can afford, send it my way.
He wants to ask you a question.
Well, now we're thinking about my financials. Please.
Please.
I would love to hear it.
Sports is about when? Next year or today at 1 o'clock? What's
next
That's
year
pretty heavy,
and today
actually,
at 1
Bob.
O'clock?
I'm more
and
of a historian of the game. I like to think of the past.
Bob, we can do it all. We can do it all, Bob.
Hold it.
Huh?
You guys got nothing to add. What's going to go on at 1 o'clock?
Ooh, Bob, let's hold on. To be fair, Bob, let's get your take.
Yeah.
What's going to happen at 1 o'clock today?
Break it down.
I like the Gronk.
Don't care. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Mark's in a car. Hey, Mark.
I may be a lot of things, but I am not overpaid.
Hey. Hi, Mark.
What do you got?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, yeah. So we're talking about this talent drop-off between quarterbacks and tight ends, but you sort of got to look at it as a package deal. So, you know, next week going into Pittsburgh, would you rather have Brady and Hollister or Hoyer and Gronk?
No,
Brady
obviously.
Hollister, no
quarterback,
question.
The quarterback's so important.
The impact, obviously, at that, but you can't – the drop-off is bigger from Gronk to Hollister, but you can win with that, right, Mark? If you have Brady, we have a top-flight quarterback, you can win with a crappy quarterback, tight end. It's not ideal, but no one would take the Hoyer-Hollister combination or Hoyer-Gronkowski.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Do you agree? I would assume everybody would agree on that. I mean, that one's not close. Doesn't mean that the gap isn't bigger at that position, but quarterback trumps everything. Like, whatever the second most important position is, and in the NFL today, I don't know, is a corner?
I would say starting corner and then left tackle.
Yeah.
In some order, it's quarterback, cornerback, left tackle.
Those three. It's funny. Like, even when you look at the struggles Brady has had, like just the team overall has had, you go back to 2001 to today, and you think about, look at all the different quarterbacks that have played for Miami. Now, I guess you can do the same thing for Buffalo and the Jets, but it really is amazing the quarterbacks that have beaten Tom Brady head-to-head, I guess, you know, when they've played. You know, talking about guys like Jay Fiedler, Joey Harrington.
Jay Fiedler, the pride of Dartmouth.
It's Tannehill. Tannehill has more wins against him than like anyone. It's like amazing.
Yeah. Tannehill is actually – it's either he or Chad Pennington has been the best AFC East quarterback against Brady.
Yeah, but
like
in that era, Miami.
Ryan Tannehill might be the best. Like wins, loss wise.
Yeah.
I don't know if straight talent wise he is, but
he
wins
beat
and
them
losses.
2 years
in
a row.
You know who would say, who would argue,
so?
Rex Ryan would tell you it's Sanchez. No, he would because they got to the AFC title game a couple
times.
No,
I understand, but it's not.
This is the list. And Fourier is right. People have done this a million times, but it is fun to do. Since Brady took over, Fiedler, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerotte,
oh, I love Sage.
Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green,
my favorite.
John Beck. Good one.
John Beck, BYU. John Beck,
the writer? John Beck drew four starts. No, the BYU kid. Yeah.
BYU, he could sling it.
Pennington, Chad Henne.
Henne had a big game against the Pats 1 year.
Tyler Thigpen drew a start in 2010.
Get him in there.
Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler.
Unbelievable.
Those guys have all quarterbacked or started a game for the Miami Dolphins since Brady took over in 2001.
That is just, I mean, is on par with the Cleveland Browns list.
Yeah,
like,
it
you know,
is.
That they always famously show Cleveland Browns and all the guys they've had. And the big one there is Nick Saban going with Dante Culpepper instead of Drew Brees. Like, that's it. That could have ended. The list could have stopped at Drew Brees had they brought him in.
Now I want to do. Now you're going to make
Cleo Lemon. Like, that was one that stood out.
Cleo Lemon's amazing.
You named some other ones. Like, I forgot about Ray Lucas.
Ray Lucas was with the Pats at one point.
He was.
Yeah.
And the
unbelievable.
Jets. And of that list, the guy that surprised me the most that beat Brady. I remember beat Brady.
Oh.
A.J. Feely.
A.J.
Feely had two touchdowns in a fourth quarter game in Miami to beat Brady. It might have been under Saban.
He's married to some woman on the World Cup soccer team.
I know Saban beat, obviously.
I always thought of Jay Feely. I was like, no, he's a kicker.
Jay Feely did not.
He's a very good
quarterback
sideline
reporter.
Excellent.
he's the kicking analyst.
Breaks it down. So you can make me do this now. So same
who are you
list,
going to now?
Same
Cleveland?
List for Cleveland.
Well, they're all good. Buffalo's is good. The Jets is good. All these
Tim
lists
Couch,
are good.
Kelly Holcomb, Jeff Garcia, Luke McCown.
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry.
Charlie Fry.
Who drew 18 starts over 2 years for them.
Yeah, wow.
Brady Quinn, Ken Dorsey, Bruce Gradkowski.
Ooh, nice Mac
Colt McCoy, Jake DeLome. Remember Seneca Wallace?
I do remember Seneca Wallace. Iowa State.
Ooh, look at you bringing
Brandon Weeden, Thad Lewis.
Thad Lewis, sorry.
Soupy Campbell.
Who?
Jason Campbell.
Brian Hoyer.
Stop
Jason
it.
Campbell.
Oh, wait, first stop. Go back.
What?
Yeah.
Soupy Campbell?
Yeah, that's what they call him. That's Campbell Soup.
That was Mutt's nickname for him.
Yeah, Soup. I call him Soup.
Soupy. Every single guy that's last name is Campbell, and unfortunately, is Soupy.
I'm going to save the most nondescript one for last. You know the rest of these guys. Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel, Cody Kessler, who's back in the league, RG3, Deshaun Kaiser, and then these Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor. Here are my two favorites on that list.
Yeah.
Connor Shaw and Kevin Hogan.
Connor Shaw, who's
two guys,
a good South Carolina
like
quarterback.
Gym, like
Kevin
Hogan, your neighbor who you borrow.
What about Clipboard Jesus? Which one did they nickname Clipboard
Charlie
Jesus?
Whitehorse?
Yeah,
who was the backup with the Chargers?
He didn't
for
draw
years.
A start.
No, he wasn't in Cleveland. I don't think.
Okay,
was he? I don't
Whitehorse
think he
have a beard? Is that why you get the Clipboard Jesus?
Yeah, it was
nickname?
With San Diego. And
or did
Tennessee.
He walk on water? Forget.
He was a water and a wine guy. You're right.
Gotcha.
No, but the worst part about the Cleveland list. I know this is an aside. But all the first-round picks they used.
Ugh,
like, at least Miami, so like it's like they weren't trying quite as hard. Like, Tannehill was a first-round pick. Maybe there's another one in there. But Cleveland, it was like every year they're like, it's Quinn, it's Whedon, it's Manziel. And so maybe I think they finally found the guy in Mayfield, but we'll see.
Deshaun Kaiser.
Deshaun Kaiser, Notre Dame.
He wasn't a first-round pick, was he?
No, he was third, I think.
Came second out early.
That did
should've
not last.
Came out
no, he shouldn't have.
Spent a third-round pick in 2017 and wheeled back and took Mayfield at 9.
Isn't Kaiser's... the backup for Rodgers right now? I think he's with Green Bay.
Is already?
I think
they've already moved on.
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
Huh. Kevin and Olson at 617-779-7937. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Gentlemen.
Hello.
This show is amazing. I got Christian Fourier and Mutt at the same time. Mutt, you've been a great addition to the radio station. I just wanted to say that up front.
Thanks, buddy. Check is in the mail.
He's been at the station since like 02.
Have been here for a while. And, it's been good. Kevin just found us, though. Just on HD2.
I'm a carpenter. I listen to the sports radio all day, every day, and I can't stand some people, and I'm so glad Mutt is on the show now. Christian is super, super, like, entertaining, so I love you too. Anyway, so my point about the Patriots this year, okay? I think everyone's noticing, like, every year the Patriots, they start slow, and obviously towards the end of the year, the defense gets better every year. I don't give anyone else in the AFC a chance right now except the Texans, and I'm a little worried about Watson. And I just wanted to know what you guys think about the matchup eventually in the playoffs with the Pats against the Texans. Do we have their number, or is he just too strong now?
All right, so Kevin, whether you knew it or not, you were leading us into what I want to talk about when we come back, and that is Chris Gasper's story, where he ranks The top paid the let's read the headline from Gasper, shall
we? AAC Power Rankings?
It's got all the words. No words I don't even know in this headline.
Oh.
Here are the top five toughest potential playoff opponents for the Patriots.
Oh, I already got my list.
That's actually tough to say.
Yeah.
Here are the top five toughest potential playoff opponents for the Patriots.
Again.
It's a lot of P's there. Here are the top five toughest potential playoff opponents for the Patriots.
Woo!
Like the Micro Machines.
That is
there.
Pretty good.
Because let's see here. The Texans are on his list, and they are ahead of, on his list here, the team I think is the biggest out. And I think Gasser, where he screws up his list, is at number five. We'll get to that with your calls next. Potential playoff opponents for the Patriots. 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 That's lightning fast right there.
That was really well done.
You know that thing where at the end of
alliteration.
Some of these ads at the end, they want you to read the disclaimer very fast. You see it on TV now a lot. They have all these new drugs now for whatever you have in your system.
A lot of good stuff out there.
Diabetes or cleft palate. Doesn't matter what they have some sort of deal out there for you.
Your equipment's not working.
It's
whatever it might be.
You having a problem downstairs, fellas?
Give us a buzz.
I got the option for you. And then
The side effects are insane. Yeah, it's everything else.
May lose your hair.
Yeah.
May cause internal bleeding.
Go crazy.
May have your teeth falling out. You don't hear anything, Fourier?
Fourier, we can hear you.
I never touched anything.
Hi, Fourier.
We can hear you. You sound great. Just be easy.
Christian, you're on the air.
Johnny might want to be
Hi,
ready.
Christian.
If he gets frustrated, he may say
something. He has no idea.
He's not supposed to.
He has no clue, right?
Let it rip.
Christian, your thoughts?
Just say whatever you
Hello?
Want.
Hello?
Go ahead, Christian.
No. Hello?
Let me ask you a question.
Can you hear me?
How is it connected for an hour and a half and then now it's not?
Hello?
Are you there?
Okay.
What?
Christian, can you answer the question, please?
Yeah.
This is a weird connection right now. Okay, we're good. I don't know what the question is.
It was the easiest question ever. So answer whatever question you thought I asked you.
Yes. Sometimes, in the poop shoot. Yeah.
What? I don't think you can say that.
No.
Potential playoff opponents for the Patriots.
Yeah, let's just.
Okay.
Drop that.
So, yeah, thank you. Could you take care of him, please? Thank you. Hopefully John's got you covered. The Chris Gasper here.
Let's dive into it.
Well, let's go 5-1, shall we?
Let's do it.
Want to go from the front to back, or do you want to go from 5-1?
Back to front.
Okay.
Yeah, 5-1 would be great.
What is the question?
Chris Gasper says, here are the top five toughest potential playoff opponents of the Patriots. Number five is the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is where he's dead wrong right out of the gate. And in this sentence with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he uses a word I don't know. Shocker. It was tempting to put the Titans here because they have flummoxed Brady, have the NFL's best red zone defense, and...
You don't know flummoxed?
A passel of expats.
Oop, I'm out.
P-A-S-S-E-L. Have you ever used that word in your entire life?
No, maybe by accident.
You went to prep school up in New Hampshire?
I did. I went to a very prestigious
prep
school.
What does passel mean, Fourier? That was my question.
Please, don't even get me started. No clue, and don't care. I'm never going to use it.
Gasper does. So he's got Pittsburgh 5.
I don't hate Pittsburgh 5. Probably 4, but go ahead.
Ravens 4? The Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens who don't know who they're going to play at quarterback after today.
John Harbaugh, better coach than Mike Tomlin.
How about team? This year, that team, offensively.
Lamar Jackson can scoot. You like Lamar Jackson.
I do like him, but Joe Flacco will take over at some point.
Their defense is significantly better. Baltimore's is better than Pittsburgh.
Texans 3, which the caller asked about.
Okay.
Kansas City 2 and Chargers 1.
No, let's not go
which
nuts
is
about the Chargers.
That is being wacky.
I got to be different. Yeah, look at me. Nobody's talking about the Chargers, so I'm going to go
overboard. Nobody mentioned them. Yeah, I'm smacked.
I don't think we need to overthink it. I think the Chiefs are still the best team in the AFC. I know that Kareem Hunt put up a lot of points for him, was really good, but Spencer Ware can do a lot of the same stuff in the offense, so I think the Chiefs are the best team. And I haven't changed my mind. Whoever has the home game in the AFC Championship game, that team's going to go to the Super Bowl. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I would go I'd still say the Chiefs are one as far as the most dangerous team, right? That's what we're doing right now since I'm coming to the party.
Yeah, who are the toughest opponents for the Pats in the playoffs?
I'm looking at Houston, and I know a lot of people – the Houston Texans have the worst track record, really, in the postseason overall, and especially just regular season or postseason against the Patriots. But I would say this year – okay, the way they're constructed right now, how healthy they are right now, I would say they have the biggest opportunity to upset the Patriots. Like, they would come into Foxborough as the underdog, and they would come out with a win. That would be the team. not that they would, like, you know, look past, but there's such a history of domination. Even when they're really good, even when they have a good season, they come out here and then they play well, they play bad, and they have their chances, but the Patriots always win. To me, they're as healthy as they've ever been. And then I'd go, like, that first game of the season, Deshaun Watson was just first game of the season.
He looked like a shell of himself. Yeah, he looks much better now.
And I go back to that one playoff game that they had against the Texans when they had an unbelievably great game plan, played great. They had Osweiler as the quarterback. He played decent. They had some good throws. They could have made it close. They had guys dropping passes in the end zone. If you get that performance with Deshaun Watson, they're going to beat the Patriots at home. I would call that a loss for them, and that would make me right, and they wouldn't go to the Super Bowl, and I'd be all, and everyone would be happy.
I don't know. They still have, you know, playoff Demaryius Thomas. I wouldn't be all that concerned about. He wilts under the Patriots. They usually do a good job against DeAndre Hopkins. Most teams don't. The Patriots somehow do. I don't know.
Stephon Gilmore would help you in that category.
He absolutely would. So you need him healthy. I just don't see Bill O'Brien going in there and getting a win in Gillette.
See, I think if you're going to win a game, you're going to beat the Patriots. Say the game's at Gillette, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how fact is that. I'm with you on the home field. Like, I don't think the Patriots are going to Kansas City and beating Kansas City.
I don't
see if it ends
that.
Up there.
No.
I could see two teams going to New England and beating the Patriots at Gillette. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, because of their offense, even with Ware at running back instead of Kareem Hunt.
They could.
They can do enough offensively. Hell, they essentially did. The first time around,
they scored 40. Patrick Mahomes
had two plays where they should have scored two drives. They should have scored points. They got zero. They had the play before halftime where he threw that dumb pick and they got no points at all. And then he had that play where he underthrew his receiver who was wide open, and it was another big play defensively. If they score on those two drives, they beat you in your building. They've got the tiebreaker, and they are cruising to the number one seed. So I think they could score enough points to beat the Patriots. And look, I'm going to go down with the ship on this. I don't like the team, obviously. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are capable. Forget the history. They are capable of offensively coming to Gillette and putting 30 points up. And if you can do that, you can beat the Patriots. Their defense is much better than it's been in recent years. They're blitzing a lot more than they have. They're at top of the league in sacks, in the top three or four last time I looked. I know Roethlisberger is a moron. I know Mike Tomlin's like a traffic cone there on the sideline. He does more to stop opposing players than his coach's team. But the talent is loaded. James Conner is probably going to be back in health by the time the playoffs come around. Even without Le'Veon Bell, that team could come to Gillette and beat the Patriots.
I don't think so. Now, what would be great is if the games are close, Mike Tomlin or Andy Reid with their guys late
advantage
in the game,
Belichick.
Yeah, they're going to screw something up. You know, whether it's a timeout that they should have called or one that they shouldn't have called or whatever else it is. There's no way that I see Pittsburgh going in there. Roethlisberger's had his moments, then he hasn't this year. Is Fourier still with us?
I don't know. I don't think he knows.
Jesus, dude. What the hell?
You might want to pot him down until he's available. Although the worst thing he said, he knew he was on the air for, so it really doesn't matter.
Let's get him situated. 617-779
figure that
7937 is the phone number. Excuse me, I'm looking at.
What is he doing TV? Is that
I
next
don't
hour?
I don't know. I'm okay. Trying to make sure he's. Oh wait, when does he have to leave?
Doesn't he have to
I
leave
totally
at
forgot
some point?
About that. 11:20.
Yeah. He'll leave
or
he'll
something. So.
He's prepared.
So Gasper has the Chargers number one.
I think that's just overthinking it. I think Phillip Rivers is having one of, if not his best year, so there is that. But Melvin Gordon being out, and even if he comes back, how great is he going to be? I do admit that nobody's really talking about them, but they also, they're one of those teams that hasn't beaten anybody good. Right? Like, you take a look at what, you know, it's similar to, like, the Vikings, when we're going through the Viking schedule. Like, every time they have an opportunity to face somebody good, they lose. And so the Chargers' three losses, Kansas City, the Rams, and Denver. All right, like those are pretty good. But their wins, this win against Pittsburgh is really the only win you can look at as a legitimate win to me.
And that was a win.
Maybe at Seattle, I guess.
Storm back. I mean, it was
they were down 16. They got a real benefit of a non-call on one of those long touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty significant. At Seattle is probably a good win, too, although that was week 9, and I feel like Russell Wilson and the Seahawks are a lot better now than they were. But they've been feasting on a lot of bad teams, you know, a couple of wins against Oakland, things like that.
It is pouring now. A bunch of people are posting videos from Miami. Downpours, they're saying it's going to be cleared out in time for the game. But one of the reasons why, the weather was a factor for me in taking the Dolphins plus the points. Erickson Westfield at 617-779-7937. I got it. Chiefs-Steelers 1-2. Right now in the AFC. Hi, Eric.
Hi. I heard Chris. No, I just got in the car, so I don't know what the whole conversation was. But I heard Christian saying that the Texans have the worst playoff record. Now, I really highly doubt the Bengals are going to make the playoffs, but the Bengals are just absolutely terrible. I don't even know why Marvin Lewis is still coaching that team.
No, it is weird.
I think we're talking about real contenders to play the Patriots.
Teams that are in right
yeah.
now. You know, it's one of those things where they've had some good seasons under Bill O'Brien. They have one playoff win under him, and that came against the Raiders. Remember after they lost Derek Carr, and I think they were down to like Connor Cook. So they have not the success he's had has not translated into the playoffs at all.
I don't think Pittsburgh can really go into New England and put 30 up on them. I mean, Pittsburgh, they're hit or miss. They've been good and they've been bad. And I don't think James Conner coming back is really gonna make a difference.
Oh, he's been awesome this year. They have not, Eric. They have not missed what's his name, Le'Veon Bell, for 1 second.
Oh, no, not at all.
Connor's been better in some ways than Bell has been statistically this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. But
yeah, but Bell's a lot better.
I think if they had to go to Pittsburgh in the playoffs, then I think I would be a little bit worried. But I mean, I guess we'll see next week when they play him, and that'll be a real test. But the playoffs are definitely a different animal for Brady and the Patriots when things really matter.
You're not wrong, Eric. Thanks for your call. And that game could be for the number one seed, could be locking up the number one seed for the Patriots. We're giving them the Bills and Jets games to end the year. Mm-hmm. So they win in Miami this afternoon. If the Chiefs drop one of the next two and they play twice between now and the next time the Patriots play, they'll play the Ravens today. Pretty good defensive team there at Kansas City. Then they got to play the Chargers on Thursday night, the team we're talking about right now. They lose one of those, and you win next week in Pittsburgh. Somehow, someway, this team that was 1-2 is the number one seed in the AFC.
And then you that also might knock Pittsburgh out of any chance of getting a first-round bye, too. You know, they're probably going to have to play a wild card weekend. And depending on what happens with Baltimore, Pittsburgh may even be the wild card team. I mean, it's screwy because they have the tie, but they're 7-4-1, Baltimore 7-5. So if Pittsburgh, you know, loses a couple more games here, there's a realistic chance that they end up being a wild card team.
Foria, we got you back?
We are officially back.
Are you okay? What the hell's going
Everything
on down
right?
there?
I don't know. It's just this, I don't know. It's a Doug issue.
It's touch and go.
It's a Doug issue. And Doug would say, like, a good craftsman never blames his tools, but
correct.
I think some of the black boxes we have in here are malfunctioning. That's what I think it is. But Doug's doing his best. He's got his X-Acto knife. He's fixing everything.
I would say maybe cigar smoke affecting him down there.
I think so.
You know what? That's
no
actually a good
sign. The boxes.
Yeah, like, everything's being just completely just, you know, screwed up because of all the smoke that's been affecting it.
Kyler Murray won the Heisman last night. He doesn't want to play football. We'll talk about that next on NFL Sunday.
He left it open this week saying, well, he'd like to play football in addition to baseball. And, of course, he was the 9th overall pick of the Oakland A's. Well, to clear things up, I talked to Scott Boras, his baseball agent, who told me in no uncertain terms, Kyler Murray is a baseball player, is going to show up for spring training in February for the Oakland A's. And remember, he signed a $4.66 million contract after he was drafted. The agreement there was he would play one season of college football. And as far as Boras told me, contractually, that was it. Once that season of college football is over, he is a baseball player. Boras said, there is nothing to figure out. It has, in fact, been decided. But if he was, in fact, going to play football, I talked to a couple scouts. They believed he'd be a Friday draft pick, probably a third rounder, maybe a second rounder, just because he's about 5'9". And as a quarterback, that's a tough sell.
That is Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, one of those nerds that Foria talked about earlier. It's NFL Sunday, Muttke, Foria, Sports Radio, WEEI. So people talking to Rap Sheet are telling him he'd be a second or third round pick there on Friday. Adam Schefter is reporting this morning on NFL Countdown on ESPN that a general manager told him he would be a first round pick, be taken somewhere late in the first round. He is going to apparently turn that down to go play baseball. I am floored by this.
Really?
Absolutely. And that you're going to get a chance to play right away in the NFL, or at least the possibility of playing right away, versus the bus rides of minor league baseball.
Yeah,
trying to make your way up and play, and maybe you're in the bigs in 2 or 3 years from now versus playing NFL quarterback right now and getting that guaranteed money as a first-round pick. I thought for sure once he was told, and I guess he's being told now, he'd be a first-round pick, he would go to the NFL. I can't believe he's playing baseball.
Oh, I can.
I don't think he's a first-round pick at all.
And he got four-something million in signing bonus already, being the ninth pick in the draft in baseball. If you're a top-10 pick in baseball, I know they don't all make it, but I don't think he's going to be in the minors forever. And then he has a chance to – look at the money that's still being tossed around in baseball. And, oh, by the way, less chance of getting multiple concussions and all kinds of injuries. So if you're good at both, the money I think is going to be there. I've never seen the kid play baseball, so I have no idea how good he is. I'm just basing it off of him being a top-10 pick. I think there's an absolute ton of money to be made there, and there's no guarantee he's a good football player. Like, I love watching him. He is fun as hell to watch, but he's 5'9", and that's going to be tough to translate to the NFL.
You don't know if he's a good – I think Forrest said the same exact thing. We know he can run a pretty high-profile, high-octane offense. The league, the NFL is trending towards that. They want less defense and more offense. Isn't it set up more than ever for a guy – who's 5'9" and might be undersized to be able to do it? Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees, et cetera?
Maybe.
I say just take his height out of it. Just all right, so ceiling – let's say his ceiling in baseball and his ceiling in football is the same. Let's just assume, like, that's the parameters we're working with. Wouldn't you play baseball if that was the case?
Yeah, there's more money and more seasons.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more money.
If I had to do it over again, like, I would play baseball. I would dedicate my life – to the art of baseball. Yes, you know, you get drafted out of college, you go right into the league, okay? But I would say your shelf life, I mean, if you can't make it, like, they're going to identify that pretty quickly. They're going to move on from you. So 3 years,
okay, well,
if
by
you
the way,
can't figure it out.
Christian, that's perfect, because guess what? If he's that good at baseball, if football doesn't work out at the age of, 24, 25, he can still go play baseball and say, I gave football a shot. I was a number one pick. I made a go of it at the quarterback position. Didn't work. I'm going to go play baseball now.
Yeah,
I would say it's
reverse.
No, how?
No, you go baseball first, then football.
So he's going to. So let's say baseball. Yeah. He won't know the baseball time frame is much longer, isn't it? Right. He starts at some rookie league next year.
Yeah, but
year,
if you're a rookie,
and then single A, double A. Let's say 3 years from now, he's in AAA/the majors. You'll know.
No, I know. But
next year, or the year after,
your arbitration is going forever on these baseball contracts. So you want to start that as soon as possible. And so if you get to the big leagues, then maybe you can sign that next contract before you're 30. Whereas if he goes and plays football for 3 or 4 years, now he's in the minors at 24 or 25. I don't think that would work out for him either.
Yeah. See, if I had my option, I would go. I would easily go. I mean, the list is long with football players / baseball players who went and played baseball first, realized that they couldn't make it, and were still – see, football's easy to – I would say not easy. Easier to jump back into as far as just, you know, just your athleticism, how much of an asset it could be, as opposed to trying to figure out how to hit a 99-mile-hour fastball. To me, that takes a lot more repetition. And then just, hey, listen, I'm a better athlete than you. All you do is get me the ball, and I'll make you miss, and I'll get yardage, so I can see that being a bigger asset. So if I'm him, I'm going straight to baseball.
Could he do both? I know Scott Boras said no, but of course Scott Boras is going to say no. But could – especially if – I don't think you could be the QB1 of an NFL team and do both. But if you're part of a team where – you know, they run certain packages for you, or they treat you more as an athlete, and maybe your starting quarterback isn't somebody, you know, like Tom Brady, but it's somebody like Joe Flacco, for example, where they plan on using Flacco and Lamar Jackson. They were doing that earlier. Like, if you are, like, part of an offensive weapon and then also play baseball, and I forget exactly how Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson split their time, but it's been done before.
Well, Bo's the interesting one because, you know, he had a harder job than Deion Sanders or Brian Jordan did. Deion Sanders was so good, they just said, okay, go play cornerback, take this guy away, that's your role. Jordan played the back end of, you know, safety for a couple, whatever it was, years between the baseball and football. A quarterback
is
going to be asked to do so much.
I don't think you can, but unless it's one of those things where you go a little bit more gimmicky, and I don't know how many teams would be willing to do that. Like, would you take a guy – now, you wouldn't take a guy in the first round and mess around with that. But if you took a guy in the third round, and you said, all right, we're going to have him in, he's going to play 20 snaps a game, and we're going to do weird stuff with him, and defenses aren't going to know whether we're passing or running or throwing.
Treat him like Cordell Stewart before he took over full-time as the quarterback.
Yeah. Would you do that? Would a team be willing to do that?
I would think about doing that.
I would love it. I think it would be awesome. I think it would be awesome. But I don't know, does that then affect how you get paid by both teams? You know, they're like, well,
he's not going to be a major league player right away. So he'd be coming from a minor league season His season would probably, for a couple of years, would end earlier than a major league season because the minors end at what? The end of August, September. You're not playing into October. So theoretically, he could show up and be it. He really can't do any summer camp. He can't do any passing camp.
How does this work? Do you play the whole baseball season and then go play football once your team is done?
Ask for
it. Or once football starts, do you jump ship and say, hey, great baseball season. Good luck in the playoffs.
Like, yeah, but again, it is. You think about the guys that have been able to do it. Like, Bo Jackson was easy. Listen, get it in eye formation. We're going to run you right and left, and you just go.
Yeah.
That's easy. Deion Sanders, yeah, okay, listen, cover two, cover three, man. That's it. This is we're going to have you return some punts. Other than that, you don't have to really know too much. The quarterback position, not a chance.
Too
just
much.
Not a chance. Not worth it. Not worth it. If I'm Kyler Murray, I guess I would just want to. I'm young enough. I have enough time. I got 5 years, and after 5 years, I'll come back in. But I don't even think his ceiling is that high as a quarterback in the NFL. Anyways, I think he's one of those guys that. He's not necessarily Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, even though he's short,
he's not Jason White, though, either, right?
No. He's just built differently. He's a lot thicker, and he's a different personality.
But Mayfield being good helps him. Like, it absolutely does. Like, you saw him in that same offense, light it up, same thing, same result, you know, all the touchdowns, all the yards, and Heisman, and also short. I don't know who's taller. I mean, I think Mayfield's listed as taller, but they're both under 6 feet. And so you see him, and you say, all right, well, maybe this guy could be able to do it, too. I don't know. I would love to take a chance on it, but if you're a team, you wouldn't be able. First of all, you can't spend a first-round pick on him because he's already said he's going to play baseball. And then after that, when does the commitment start? When does it stop? Like, it's just that's too tough for that.
I don't know how the minor league system works. I mean, maybe Lou can tell us.
We'll wait till Monday.
He's got a 4-year deal. How many years is it?
A four-year deal.
No, I mean, sorry. He's got a $4 million. $4 million. How many years is it?
With arbitration, I mean, he's probably.
I mean, so is it like a
depends how
deal?
Good he is? Yeah, it's in flux. I think because it depends.
Yeah, I'm not
how good
sure how
are.
It works with the
baseball
with the
contracts are so dumb. Like it's like an 8-year deal basically.
Yeah, they have his rights.
They have
until
him forever.
He'll have him for.
Yeah. But he has the ability to make more money.
He does, for sure. Yeah. He has the ability to make more money. You look at what.
Once he gets out of that first deal, he does. He's going to make
then.
If he were taken in the first round as a quarterback.
But look at Mookie Betts, for example. Now, I'm not saying Kyler Murray is going to be Mookie Betts, but he's still under arbitration. But because he's so good, he's going to be making like $20 million under that. And then he's going to sign a deal where he makes $35, $40 million a year.
That's why I like baseball contracts because
they're insane and they're 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, it's just if your ceiling is the same, go play baseball. Go play baseball all day long, you know. And if you find out you're not moving up the ranks, and I think you kind of would have an idea.
So you can jump back into football easier than you could try football first and jump back into baseball. I thought it'd be the exact opposite.
Well, Chris Wanky did the baseball for several years. Then went back, won the Heisman at Florida State, and then was a bad pro, but he was still a pro. He did baseball.
Brandon
was it was his game.
Brandon Weeden is
Brandon
the same,
Weeden the same way.
Was he based? And he wasn't. No, the answer is
who? Wanky or
no?
Weeden?
Forget Weeden. Those guys were like pocket quarterbacks with big arms. This guy here we're talking about is going to be
a
threat because of his athleticism. And doesn't that as he gets older, doesn't that becomes less of a threat?
Ward.
Maybe, but there's less wear and tear on you, too. I don't know. I mean, you could probably talk your way into either side of that.
Well, you know, I know this may be a little bit of a deviation from what we're discussing, but it still involves Kyler Murray. So he wins the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
And what is in vogue now with all these young guys?
Oh, my God.
When they have a moment of success and a lot of attention and mainstream America kind of recognizes who they are, people who weren't
following 7 years
football.
Ago, yeah.
Yeah, they go back and they look at his tweets from when he was like 14 and 15.
Yeah, he had to apologize.
And then he's got to apologize. It just, man, this is just driving me nuts. It really is. Like, you know, things that you get some attention and people just try to, like, you know, bring you down and just shame you for what you did when you were 14 or 15. I mean, forget about what you did as a 14 and 15-year-old. People do dumb things and then people start to, like, redefine what's dumb. So, they shame you for the new definition of what's dumb, not what the old definition was dumb. So, he's getting a lot of heat for I guess some homophobic slurs over Twitter when he was 14 and 15.
Right.
It's just
he had to apologize. He had to issue a statement. The whole thing. You're like, I'm actually surprised because he has been such in the, in, you know, it's center focus all year long because he's been so good. I'm surprised he didn't come out earlier, like in a bigger game.
How is there
like
not
that.
Somebody on Lincoln Riley's staff or somebody in the program of
going
Oklahoma
through them all.
Who goes back at every one of their players and
know.
Just their job is you're an intern, you're a grad assistant.
Yeah.
You will scroll through every
all
one of Kyler Murray's
delete
tweets
them.
And delete anything questionable. How does that not happen for a player like that?
But I think there's just so many of these that this. I think this will get swept under the rug, this one, because there'll be something else that pops up soon, and it'll be worse.
Well, this is it's going to continue to happen, right? I mean, this we're living in an age now where there is some 13 or 14-year-old tweeting or Instagramming. I that'll be the next one. These people putting questionable stuff on Instagram and videos
well, think
that
about
they're going
all the college
to regret
kids.
In 6 years when they're drafted
yeah.
or whatever.
All the college kids.
Their whole life is on social media.
Right. They were in middle school. They were on this stuff. So yeah, you're gonna find some things that
I
aren't socially
been
acceptable anymore.
Screwed. If that,
oh God,
I would have tweeted
would have
or
done
the dumbest stuff.
Dumbest stuff.
So
thinking
stupid.
It was funny then, knowing that it's not funny now.
Trying
but
to be
when I was 14,
trying to be provocative.
Yeah.
Trying to be
right.
edgy.
Look
you
at
know,
trying to grab
really,
a retweet. Trying to
yeah.
grab a trying
yeah,
to grab a like.
Please
this.
RT.
Yeah, please RT this. What do you guys think?
You know,
of this
next
joke?
Thing you know, like you're having like you're in the woods and you're drinking. You're like, let's retweet all this
yeah.
stuff. You're drinking some Boons, maybe
right.
some Schlitz.
Yeah, let's take a video of this.
No.
Let's post a video of us slamming
for us,
beers.
For us yeah. back in the day, Busch Light. Yeah, Busch.
Ooh, Busch,
Busch Light.
Very
affordable. Yes.
Keystone Light for me or Keystone
yeah.
Ice.
No
if you want to turn it up a notch.
No.
Yeah. See, so I was straight fake gangster rapper. It was all Old English 800.
Oh, that's nice.
Paper bag.
Keep it in the bag. There you go.
Never had an Old English.
We did the Schlitz. And then was that the one with the blue bull on it? Was that the same one?
The what?
There was like a blue bull, like a big bull. Like that was like their logo.
Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No.
It was
I
know, a 40. You're,
it was
I know a you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
I remember 40, the commercials too.
No, they were great. 40s. It was delicious.
It sounds awesome. Tim's in a car. Let's let Tim weigh in before the break. Hi, Tim.
Tim.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's
hey,
up?
Tim.
Hey, no, you were talking about. You know, baseball first versus football, and I think it's a no-brainer. You go baseball. I mean, if you play for 3 years in minor leagues and you suck, you know what I mean? Then, I mean, you won the Heisman. You know, like you can just come right back, and he's going to pick you up. You know what I mean? They're going to give you a shot.
But my thought was, Tim, his mobility, his athleticism is what separates him at the position. He's 5'11", one whatever. He's
like
he's undersized for the
yeah.
position, so he needs to have. That athleticism, and I wonder, once you go play baseball for a couple of years, is there a chance
they'll be there still.
You're not the same athlete you were when you came out of school?
Maybe.
That was the
well,
issue.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I agree with that. All right, and then, you know, in reverse. I mean, what if you go play football and you fuck your shoulder up and then you
hey,
can't do anything?
Oh, kid, there we go.
Well, kid,
there
you go. Got that, John? There you go.
Dump
one
it.
One of those days here on NFL Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, so another
it's
guy.
Funny because
so this, go ahead.
No, it's like, you know, my crack researcher, Doug. He's like, he
yeah.
loves giving notes, you know. You
yeah,
got
yeah.
a little note card.
Yeah, what do you have?
Oh, my God. He's the king of
got?
Passing notes.
Yeah.
And this is my point with football, because if your ceiling is the same, the money is so much more in baseball. So if Aaron Rodgers is the highest paid NFL player this season, Aaron Rodgers, right, it's about as – like what everyone tries to crown as the new GOAT of the NFL, he's your highest paid NFL player. There's three Red Sox players right now that make more than him right now.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I would say if you're – I mean, I know Kyler Murray isn't a pitcher, but just – I mean, even if you're just a, you know, a bench player, a role player, just the opportunities and the lifestyle and just the health concerns are so much easier in baseball.
Well, like if you go back 25 years ago, you know, Charlie Ward won the Heisman and then goes and plays hoop. He was a late first-round pick. Was never a great NBA player, but he played like 10 years in the league, probably made millions and millions of
yeah.
dollars. I don't remember because it was so long ago, and I was just such a huge fan of Charlie Ward. Like, I don't know where he was projected to go in the draft if he played in the NFL. I don't know how he would have translated to the NFL. He was amazing at Florida State. That's all I remember. And he was just a solid NBA player, but he probably is walking pretty good. He's probably, you know, thinking pretty clear.
Well,
like, all that stuff has to factor in, too.
His stance wasn't in just Googling this real quick. His stance was, if I'm not taking the first round, I'm not playing in the NFL. The only reason I would play.
Oh, okay. So
and
maybe he wasn't.
Apparently, Tyler Murray's just decided, I don't care where I'm drafted. At least as of right now. Maybe this is Boris, because Boris knows, like you guys are saying, long-term, the money and the safety and longevity
of
that player.
Some teams draft him, though. Don't you think?
What's the round? So you are put your GM hat on for a second.
I got it on right now.
What round are you spending a pick on?
Third round, and then I put the full court
on
press
Murray?
On him. Yes, and I try to get him to play. Third round, especially if you're like the Patriots and you're picking, you know, 90 something like late third round.
If I'm a bad team third round. If I'm a competing team that's in the middle of a Super Bowl window, I'm not wasting a third round pick on a guy.
Well,
who
if
might
you're the
play.
Patriots and you need a future quarterback, that might be your steal. Ooh. He might be the Tom Brady.
Maybe that's who Josh McDaniels wants.
So draft him, own his rights, and just wait and see what happens.
Yes.
Maybe he hates baseball, so hates the minor leagues.
I put the full court press on him.
That's a better discussion right there. So does somebody waste a draft pick on him anyways? Well, even though
I don't think it's a waste.
I wouldn't call it a waste.
If it's a fifth round or later, it's not a waste.
They wasted a draft pick.
Third round pick on a guy that may not play, period?
How many fifth round guys actually make the league anyway? So I would say anything fifth round or beyond, you're not wasting a pick. It's a nice lottery ticket.
But if you wait till the fifth, he might be gone. That's why I would go third.
I would say that there's a lot of teams that are probably thinking like that, too.
The Jets will take him in the first round.
Like, okay, so he's not worth a third or a fourth, but for fifth round, I think I'm willing to. If you're a team like the Cleveland Browns, although they probably wouldn't do it with a lot of draft capital, they have a ton of draft picks, tons of like late round picks, and they're just using them as
the Raiders
as,
will do it.
You know, I can see
the Raiders will definitely like do it. Yeah,
Raiders suck.
Mark, drafting with the first pick, Mark Davis. Yes, we are. I love this kid. He's our guy.
I love him. You see him? He won the Heisman.
Gruden loves him. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's NFL Sunday. An hour
Are we breaking?
We're gonna break. Would you like?
I'm leaving then.
All right.
Okay.
I'm gonna go do some TV.
You've been kind of in and out all show. Anyway.
It's not my fault though. Just to be clear.
So whose fault is it?
Doug's fault.
If we were doing blame pie, who would get
100%
it?
Doug.
Are you coming back?
He just passed me a note. 100%. Yeah, I'm coming back.
Are you coming back or are you gone?
No, I'm coming back.
All right, we'll talk.
Are we on to one? We're on to one, right?
That's correct. We're on to three today.
Live
commentary of the game.
We're not coming back. I'll be back
here. Foray is going to do some really good TV. Let's make sure we roll on that TV, John. Let's make sure. Let's see who he picks.
Yeah, we're doing it this week. Don't worry.
We'll see who he picks. We'll get to all that. He'll rejoin us, as will Tommy Kern, an hour from now here on NFL Sunday.